Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast on the Social Suplex Network. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah, and you nailed it.
Thank you so much. I literally was thinking to myself, I nailed it.
It was
so normal. It was one of the most normal intros I've ever
done. The cadence was perfect. The spacing between words, you weren't hesitating over any of them. Wow.
I could see it in your eyes, how much focus you were giving to it, and nailed it.
And I could just feel it was just coming out exactly the way it was supposed to. Boom, baby. Happy Thursday. How's everybody doing this week?
Thank God it's Thursday. I'll tell you that for free.
Oh, don't I know it.
Yeah.
I won't be working tomorrow. I mean, I will, but not with concentration or dedication.
When the eclipse on Monday, I like went out to all my neighbors were gathered like in the area between our houses, and so I went out there, and like after I'd been out there like 10 minutes, you know, at 3 o'clock on a Monday, one of my neighbors said, "Ann, are you working right now?" And I was like, "Well, not right now. I mean, am I on the clock? Yes, obviously."
I do. It is very funny. Anytime I am home at my parents' house, that's really their vibe. Whenever they see me moving in the house during the day, they'll say, like, "How's work?" And it's like, not happening right now. It happens. It's like, they really do have a little bit of like, they're like, is what you're doing okay? And I'm like, yeah. And I don't think we need to discuss it anymore.
It's so funny. One of my mom's friends, like their college age granddaughter, is living with them while she's going to school in town. But like, she's like really depressed and like not going to class and stuff. But I was like, man, I could not have like lived with my grandparents and gotten away with that. Like, not that they were strict, but they would have been like so shocked if I was just like not going to classes that it would have shamed me into going. Like that, like, are you not at class right now? It's like, oh, I'm on my way. Like, don't worry about it. Actually, I'm getting dressed right now, you know?
And I have to say, I would never skip a class. I don't think I did ever skip class in college even.
Wow.
I'm a real little law.
I didn't law until biter. Senior year. Yeah.
I skipped a lot of classes.
Senior year, I took, I was taking Latin at 8 a.m., so that was not acceptable to me, and we had a quiz, like, every Friday, and I'd go to, like, every fourth class, which meant I missed, like most quizzes, but I'd just show up at the professor's, like, office later in the afternoon and be like, oh, I missed the quiz, and he'd just give it to me, so it was like, yeah. It was great.
That's the thing you really have to learn about grad students. They don't care.
Oh, this wasn't a grad student. This was an old man. This was he's 70.
Oh, an old man.
He would wear like cartoon Latin shirts like under a sports coat to teach in, and he was so jolly. Dr. Ruprecht.
I love that mental image. I want some cartoon Latin shirts.
I know. I don't know where you get them, but he had a lot of them.
Now, I did reinstitute What's Making Us Happy.
I take
that very seriously. I said that I would go this week. And I will, but I don't have anything interesting really to share because it hasn't been like a killer week. But I thought I would just share something a little exciting over here, which is that usually on Thursdays when we record, right before we record, well, I guess after we record, is when I've reached peak chaos in my home. And like, it's like it was okay on Sunday. And then by Thursday, it's like I live in hell and it looks so bad everywhere and I don't feel good. My house looks so nice and normal. I had all these projects that I was trying to work through to kind of clear out the space. I worked through them. It looks so normal. It looks so normal. And I even had enough time before we started recording. I made some Rachel Ray crispy smashed potatoes.
Wow.
So,
wow.
That's pretty incredible.
She's a domestic goddess.
Yeah. So what's making you happy is your own domestic labors. It's incredible.
Yeah. Wow.
The fruits of your own hands.
Wow. How's the macrame going, by the way?
Oh, well, actually, I meant to post pictures to the group chat. I did. I haven't finished macrameing because I had two that just have little simple things right now. I have to get some thinner cord because some of these holes that I'm trying to get the cord through are too small. And anyway, but I did get all of my plants hung up and some of them beautifully macrameed, some of them not. And I have to say they look gorgeous and I will post pictures.
Nice. Please do.
For you, my friends. I don't know if I'll post them for our listeners.
You'll just have to dream of some beautiful macrame. Today, one of our friends posted like a macrame window treatment she got up at Etsy in the group chat and I kind of loved it. And I was like, maybe I need to macrame some window treatments. A little valence.
It's pretty fun. Yeah.
I will say that after Allie brought it up last week, I also ordered a beginner's kit and was like messing with it. But I will say the problem with it is that you can't really do it while you're like sitting on the couch watching TV because you need tension in the cords. So I have my project hanging on like a hook on the back of a door, and like every time I get up to go to the bathroom, I do a couple more stitches, and then I'm like, I don't feel like standing up anymore, and then I go sit down.
I bet you could do it at your desk, because I've done not macrame, but other kind of like knot tying, like this sounds insane. I was just putting all these stones I'd collected, I was knotting them into these things that I have hanging in my house. Okay, it's really normal. Anyway, I did it at the desk, and I put a little, like hook on the desk, and so then you can kind of like watch TV on your monitor or whatever. Yeah. But the desk is anchoring, and you're sitting. So that's an option.
That's true.
Wow,
that's true.
You need like a macrame loom set up, like right in front of your.
Actually started Googling it and was like, "What workstation could I invent that would allow me to sit?" And the answer was that they do sell. It looks like. The answer is that, like, you can repurpose a clothing rack. Like, so if you buy a clothing rack, you can do that.
Yeah.
But they sell ones that have, like, adjustable poles. So theoretically, you could make it short enough to sit next to your, like, couch. But I was like, I don't know how much I'm going to invest into this hobby.
You didn't want to go full-time macrame.
That's interesting. I can see that working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that's a good little macrame segment for the macrame heads out there to enjoy.
I hope everyone's impressed at the variety of crafts that we're always doing.
We're always bringing a new one into the... It's like we should make a list of what crafts we've all gone through in the past 3 to 4 years of doing this podcast.
Interesting.
Okay, you want to talk about wrestling, our hobby?
Yeah.
Our hobby.
One of many hobbies. Okay. We have wide and varied hobbies, and wrestling is
wide
one of them.
Varied, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we're happier about it than others. Okay. AEW announced last week that they would be airing the footage of CM Punk and Jack Perry's all-in altercation on Dynamite this week. Oh, I just want to say up front, we're playing a game at the end of this episode, and the amount of wrestling we talk about in this episode might be limited. Can I just say that up front?
Yeah.
Can we make that really clear?
Yeah.
I mean, the game involves wrestlers, so there'll be wrestler content this whole way through, but... Yeah. But
we'll kind of be
at a certain
floating.
Point, if you want to hear about the wrestlers doing wrestling, you're going to want to leave. We'll let you know when that time comes.
Check the
we'll
time stamps.
The narrating of moves, and we'll start talking about Regency personalities.
Horses and stables?
Yeah, probably. Primarily, yeah.
Mostly, if I had to guess. Oh Lordy, I'm sorry. I think I'm struggling because it got so dark outside because we have rain coming in. So I'm scared, and that's probably what you're hearing in my voice. No, I did read the name CM Punk, and I said I have to let everyone know this won't be happening for too long. I hope. Okay, so AEW said they were going to air this footage on Dynamite this week. They did air the footage. The move was pretty clearly a response to CM Punk's Ariel Helwani interview, which we briefly discussed last week, as well as a broader response to the whole WWE infrastructure going in on AEW for all of Mania Week. So the way they did it, the Bucks presented the footage with a promo in which they blamed the incident for potentially causing their loss to FTR at Wembley. And so they said there'll always be an asterisk next to that victory because of this. And then FTR got an in-ring promo to respond, in which Dax muddled his way through a very half-baked metaphor about houses. What do you guys think about both the presentation of the footage and the fact that the footage was presented?
I don't know. I sort of wish that I could like not think about it until after Dynasty and then just kind of have an idea. Cause like, this is Thursday night. So we just saw it last night. And so
yeah,
we've had 24 hours of absolutely insane discourse.
It's horrible online. It's so bad.
I don't know. I mean, I can kind of, what I would say is that while I was watching the Bucks present, like intro the footage, I was like, this is funny. This is really working. I'm enjoying this. I'm having a blast. And then they showed the actual footage and I was like, well, I guess that wasn't as damning as I was hoping it was going to be. I mean, he's obviously, he lied. This is proof that he's a liar, but we knew he was a liar. So I guess I thought it was, I thought it would be a little more dramatic. And then FTR came out and I was like, oh no, I hate this. I hate this. And I think now I don't like this angle because of what they did, but I don't, I'm not committed. I don't know. I don't know. I think it all needs to percolate longer.
Yeah. I feel very mixed about it because like I had a similar emotional journey through those pieces of it. And it was like, oh, I was kind of hoping the footage would be like funnier. And it just, I ended up feeling kind of just bummed out because it's like kind of a bummer to watch like a 45-year-old in management like attack a 25-year-old employee, you know, kind of
while he was fixing his hair.
Yeah. While he was kind of flipping his hair around. Like it was, and he just backed up. I don't know. It's just like, well, that sucks. And then everybody's reactions online were pretty much like what you expect, which like didn't surprise me at all. No. But there was so much like hand-wringing about whether they should have shown it. Like I saw that more than okay, that was really weird. Zoom just put a bunch of balloons in my screen. I didn't do that.
Zoom said, "Cheer up, girls! I don't see you looking very celebration happy right now."
It was
turn those frowns upside down.
There's just a load of cartoon balloons just floated across Anne's screen as she was saying something kind of sad and serious, and I don't know why.
That is emotional terrorism from Zoom. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It was a very weird, the discourse was very weird because I saw more hand-wringing about how they shouldn't have shown it because of negative reactions than I saw actual negative reactions. I mean, obviously, like, there's a lot of bots doing negative reactions, but like I felt like that was more like the podcaster class of it, which to me is just like, should everyone just like take a Xanax? And I don't even think they were like wrong to show it, because if the intended effect is like to make CM Punk shut up by being like, look, you can't take shots at us forever, we will respond, like we'll show, you know, footage that shows you're a liar, whatever, like I hope he does shut up and it's like worth a shot, I think. And it's like, I don't think there's probably any like long term negative consequences, because I don't think it's going to like affect their TV deal or like, you know, it's like we'll have a week of annoying discourse and then everyone will move on with their lives. But it's like, I also just, after the Bucks part stopped, I did not have a pleasant experience. So it's like, I would have enjoyed like a more fun time, but also like Punk and WWE did this to me, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, my thing is that like, the footage was nothing. It was just, it wasn't going to change anything. But the thing is that, like, I was enjoying the Bucks heel turn so much because it was goofy and it was like they wanted you to boo them. So, like, it just felt like them appearing was less loaded because, like, the crowd was participating the way they liked. It felt like they had control of the crowd more and everyone was popping for them to come out, but then, you know, booing them the way they're supposed to. Everything was just lining up. And now there's a complicated thing where it's like, I don't want to see the Bucks get booed because I want people to be taking their side, but they're still the heels and they're specifically being set up to be using the Punk footage to be heels, which is furthering the angle. Like, they didn't want to get baby-faced. I get it. But at the same time, now it just feels extremely complicated where I'm like, so the crowd is now on the side of FTR that's sort of on the side of Punk. Okay, so what are we rooting for here then? We're rooting, like, I just feel like everything got muddy. And I'm nervous that it's going to have fucked up the Bucks reinvention, because now it's just brought all of this back in, which they had just escaped it. But at the same time, I am like, well, I like nobody can say that until after the match. So let's see how the Dynasty match goes. But I guess, you know, that's not, I guess in the IWC, you can't really be like, I'm not going to have a take on this for a while. You kind of have to like immediately spitball a take and then defend it with your entire life with an army of followers, I think.
And just keep doubling down on it. I know everybody had takes like before they saw the footage, which to me it was like, well, we'll just see
how it goes. That stressed me out so bad. I've just been not having a good time on the internet because I mean, the moment that I found out about the footage, I started getting tense because I was just reading a lot of people speculating. And I actually think, like, you know, a lot of our friends were speculating in a way that, like, they didn't seem tense. They were just, you know, commentating on what they thought. But me just reading this, it was stressing me out. Listening to people that I respect speculate what would happen. And so then by the time yesterday came around, I was so tense in my body, you would have thought I was going on stage. And I'm like, what do you think you're contributing to this TV show? And
it doesn't matter. Some of us just have that Dance Mom energy. I mean, I get nervous about so many things that I watch on wrestling. I have to say, I think it's miraculous that I watch it at all. I have so much vicarious embarrassment about live public performances. But I think I agree. It's like a lot of it is just wait and see. I honestly don't think that this is going to derail the Bucks' like characters. I don't think it's going to derail the gimmick. And in a way, I'm like, the real problem was that they were going to fight FTR. That this thing has been, that this tournament has been leading to them fighting FTR. And I don't know that they had to show the footage, but I also don't know how they were ever going to navigate that situation when it's been playing out so publicly and FTR just love honking Punk's hog all the time. And honk their hogs too, and they're all hog honking. So it's like everyone knows about that. So I just think that was always, think it was always going to be an issue.
Well, and I think especially when they're going to be introducing Jack Perry in again, he's been doing the whole scapegoat thing. If you want to reference that, but you kind of have to like acknowledge what happened. So I feel like, I don't know, I think the Bucks did a good job making it into an angle. Like, I felt like it was really working through their promo, although, I mean, you're absolutely right about the, like, heel dynamics muddling things. But I thought, this is a good way to, like, introduce Jack Perry back and all that kind of stuff. And then I think FTR were in a situation where it's, like, it's a high level of difficulty to take this stuff and work it seamlessly into an angle, and they're just not up for it. Like, they have three moves in a promo. It's like, we're the best tag team in the world, like, you guys are lame and we love AEW, you know, and they were trying to also be like, the Bucks made this place, which is great for all of us, but also we're better than that. It was just, it didn't hang together.
Dax really fell apart when he had to move through the part of a promo where you're supposed to put over your opponent.
Yeah.
He just couldn't navigate in that tight space. So it really was just like, and thank God for the Bucks. I guess maybe we should be thanking them. But then at the same time, I think that they don't even want to be building a house. They don't want to build a house right now. They did build this house, but they don't want to build houses. They think they're too good to build houses. We love building houses. We're going to blow the roof off this one. But then we will build a new roof and put it back on, baby. Okay, Mr. Nonsense.
I wish that they had just slammed that EV Petty thing that the Bucks tweeted after, because they did sort of hit it when they were like, why are you bringing this up? But what they should have done is been like, you guys never get over anything. You're always bringing things up. Now you're going to try to slither out of your loss at Wembley. This is always what you're doing.
History in there too, because it is, I mean, it is such a long running part of their gimmick.
Yeah. And I mean, he could have even used like, oh yeah, did you found AEW? You've never mentioned that before. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like totally, there's so many things that they could have done there that would have furthered the angle, would have made fun of the Bucks and kept like the dynamics going. But it just, by doing a rah-rah speech, it made it, I don't know. I just.
Yeah. And everything they said when they were like, we all just want to move on from this, but it's like the way they phrased it just reminded me that Dax had his stupid podcast that kept everyone not moving on for ages. And it was just like, Dax, you're so stupid. Like, please stop.
Right.
Yeah. I think ultimately, I think it's going to be fine. I think that presumably their plan is to never mention Punk again. And that's great. Yeah. And I think it would be great if this could be kind of like a, you know, it's like sometimes you have an episode of a TV show that just doesn't really impact the the overall character arcs at all. Yeah. Like what happened in it just exists in its own little realm.
Bottle episode.
Yeah. I don't know if that's kind of. Standalone. Anyway, but.
It's like a monster of the week. Like
just like a monster of the week. But sometimes it's where they're just like, we're never going to mention that again. It's just not going to come up again. And I think that would be great. I think honestly, the thing that I found most stressful and I like keep not really knowing how to say it. And I'm like not trying to sound like a pious bitch or anything. But like, I just don't like, I didn't really think that the footage would be funny. And I watched it and it was exactly what it was. Like, you know, it's like, as you said, a 45-year-old man in management, like, comes up to employee and starts fucking wailing on him. So it's gross and it sucks. And then having to watch everybody talk about it and have this argument about, like, how AEW showed the footage because they're gotten to, or it was petty to show the footage for AEW, not in the Bucks gimmick, but the AEW was petty to show the footage, or that they were taking the low road. And I just feel like it just makes me feel so whack in my head when it's just like, it's not a perspective that AEW has come up with. It's not a story that AEW is telling. It is footage of what happened. Yeah. That's all it is. It is just camera footage of what actually happened and how people actually behaved. And I personally don't, again, I don't know if they should have showed it on TV. I don't know what the right way to do any of this was, but I don't think it's crazy if somebody keeps lying and changing their story about what happened just because. I think Trevor Dame said this today, he was like, well, of course Punk is going to be able to spin it. And it's like, sure, the world is full of bad people who will always spin something to make it seem good for them, and the world is also full of sycophants who love having stuff spun for them. Like that, I know that's the essential nature of our culture today. But I don't think that it's bad to say, like, okay, you can say anything you want. This is the actual truth. These are the facts. This is the thing that like you throw it out there. People can look at it. They can argue amongst themselves. To me, and I hope this is what it ends up being. I hope that. From AEW's perspective, it's just like we gave you all the facts. You can figure it out for yourselves. You can decide that you like the man. You can decide that you don't. But he can't run around saying anything he wants anymore, because at the very least, even though some people will enjoy believing his lies, other people will be able to say this is the footage.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know that I think that. We need to let go of the idea of just putting the truth out there in our society. I think maybe it's good sometimes.
Worth something sometimes. And they have tried to like just take the high road and move on and not talk about it for, I mean, how long has it been now? Like a million years. So, I mean, at a certain point, like what are they supposed to do? It's just not that.
Yeah. It's just a bummer.
The footage speaks for itself. So, yeah. I do hope that we all can move on quite quickly. I don't enjoy listening to people talk about it. I think people just seem really horrible when they talk about it.
I mean, that's...
And it sucks.
This is the problem with it. It's just like, oh, there's a lot of bad people out there with, like, really bad opinions and malice in their hearts.
Yeah.
Girl. And even the darkness in them.
I see the darkness in them, yeah.
Well, and even the people who, like, aren't even, like, what was killing me was less, like, the bots and the trolls and whatever. Yeah. It was more the people being like, oh, this makes, like, the doom posting about it. And it's like, what actual negative consequences do you think it's going to have? Like, I don't think they're going to pull their TV, their TV deal because they're too gotten to or whatever. And it's just like, I mean, it's just not that serious. I don't know. It's fine.
It's fine. And it's also I just wanted to shake some people being like, this is nothing. And be like, you are lying. You are lying. If you watch this and you're just like, this is nothing. This is the second physical fight that this man has started in his workplace in the course of, a year. Like, well, it's something.
Meltzer said something like, oh, they were talking to each other for a long time, so someone should have broken it up. And it's like, yeah, it looked like a real calm conversation. I can see why no one did break it
and
up.
And it was because, literally happening 6 inches away from Tony.
Yeah, it was like right in front of a million people.
I don't think anybody would have guessed that all of a sudden he would throw hands.
Yeah. Just crazy.
It's like, and I'm to be clear, to... I did say earlier that it was nothing, but I just meant
I know.
I agree with your point. Like, it is something, but it wasn't oh, this is going to change people's minds.
No.
But I do think it is, I think it is worth being out there. The question is, should it have been on TV or should have Tony have tweeted it? But I don't know that I'll ever have an answer to that. And I kind of don't think I'll ever have it. I'll have an answer at least till Dynasty, after Dynasty's over.
No, I agree.
Whatever.
I agree.
Whatever.
And frankly, I'm glad that I wasn't in charge of making any of the decisions about it. And,
that's an underrated point that people are not saying up. A lot of these people that are backseat driving, I'm like, that seems, what you're doing seems so stressful. You should try not running a company from I don't work there.
There's so many established wrestling bookers who always know the exact right business decision despite having never worked in the industry. It's incredible.
If there's two things I know, it's that I don't run the company, and I think that's amazing for me. And two, I never want to be in a workplace with 90% of the IWC. I hope I never have any of you as coworkers. You are unhinged. The way that you think and talk about stuff is a problem.
Yeah.
And I hope we never work together. Thank you so much.
Cute little male fantasies about how tough they are and how they would behave in the workplace are just like, yeah, all right, pal.
Buddy, I bet you would.
Typing it into ElonMuskX.com. Okay, tough guy.
Elon would love the IWC. okay, do you have anything you want to say about the Ospreay promo?
That I thought way more uncomplicatedly succeeded. Yeah. Of course, no one's talking about it because the Bucks thing is way more fun to talk about. But I'm like, it was crazy that Triple H took that shot. And also, Ospreay did a really good job by being like, how can you say, of all people,
why am I in this story?
Which honestly is what happened to Jungle Boy in the first place. That's how the whole real grind is. Like, why am I catching strays all of a sudden?
Yeah,
I thought the grinding on the boss's daughter was a little bit of a trite little comeback, but he brought a fun energy to it. So.
I have to say, do you think that he is purposefully prancing harder and harder every time he comes out?
I think so. I think he got.
I am obsessed with
that. I think. The first and maybe second time it was genuine, and now he's getting positive comments for it. He's like, look at me, I'm a beautiful show pony.
They're back
those
at Gorilla being
so
like,
so high.
Loved your prancing this week, Will.
Beautiful. Beautiful little tracksuit, beautiful prance. And his hair was all fluffy. I like the guy.
I know.
And I love that at a certain point in the promo, there was like a little shift where it's like, right, and I'm going to have that match with Bryan Danielson. Let's get back to that. don't worry. No one expects you guys to do any build for that, to be quite honest. So let's just get to Dynasty and see what you have to give us there. Later in the show, after all of the excitement of the footage, Okada fought a jobber and won. Afterwards, Pac came out to confront him. The Bucks came out to attack Pac. FTR came out to defend Pac and or confront the Bucks. And then the Bucks EVP triggered them and Okada knocked Pac out. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Any further thoughts? I think we kind of got into it, but any further thoughts about the shape of this feud, what you expect to see going forward, what you want to see going forward?
I never want to see them fight again. I never want to see them overact again.
Yeah.
Once we get through this, we're all done. We're all done.
It feels very like we just got to take our medicine in this last pay-per-view cycle, and hopefully that'll be the end of that, because good God.
I have to say I'm a little worried about some of the speculations that I've seen floating around our community. So just people suggesting potentially that maybe rated FTR Copeland or whatever he wants to call them, maybe that could be a thing, and that maybe Cope... Am I making this up?
I haven't been on the internet today, so
assume that you aren't making it up.
I'm trying to do the mental math. Okay, JB is going to come back, mm-hmm. so then there will be four men in Bucks world. It'll be uh-huh. Bucks, JB, and Okada, and that then it could be FTR, Cope, and someone else, and they could be getting into feuding.
No.
That's repulsive.
I agree that I don't. The first time I read it, I thought like that. That's Cope. Misinformed.
Cope seems like he likes to have fun, so I don't think he'd be. I thought he shut that down. The FTR trying to.
He actually has a tag partner, and it's Willow. Yeah. So don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I'm a little worried. That they're going to make us. Watch them keep fighting.
No, they can't do that to me.
No. Our happiness is teetering on a knife's edge.
As is, yeah.
If I survived the last year plus of wrestling, only to have the Bucks come back to wear shirts full time, and now you're going to tell me that they're going to feud with FTR long term?
No, they can't. I don't accept that.
I agree. It's like, honestly, I don't think that it makes a lot of sense, but...
No. I mean, Cope has to go reunite with Christian, and he's got his own stuff going on.
I saw someone say the most repulsive thing I think I've ever read the other day. I was reading someone's fantasy booking on Elon Musk's X.com, and they were suggesting that Christian could turn face. And be a face.
Why?
People say that once in a while, and it's like, why are you the dumbest person alive? Like, why would you say that?
I didn't like when I read it. I was scared. I wanted my mommy. I didn't like when I saw it with my eyes.
The show's suffering from not having Christian being big time evil weekly right now.
As we speak. I mean, it's really not worth getting into too deeply, but it wasn't our favorite episode of Dynamite.
No.
You know, unlike others out there, I'm not trying to doom and gloom. You come back, you get him again next week. It's fine, but I didn't love the ep, and I'm really missing some of our sweet guys.
Yeah.
Some of our guys we love.
A lot of our sweet guys are missing and are not so sweet guys. Yeah, it's like Mox, Hangman, Christian.
You know, in a Muppet movie, there's like sometimes there's a scene where it's like the Muppets had a big disagreement. I mean, I know it's in like the Muppet movie. I think it's in multiple. And they've gone their separate ways and they're doing their separate things. And then there's a big like, oh, we got to get the gang back together scene. We got to get the gang back together. And the gang is everybody I love who isn't on TV right now.
That's right.
And I think
one of our friends suggested the Mighty Ducks getting the gang back together montage where they rollerblade through the Mall of America. And I think I would to see, say, Orange Cassidy get on some rollerblades and go round up everyone we're missing.
Yep. He could bring them back to TV. He can rollerblade to Hangman. Mm-hmm. He can rollerblade. I know Kenny can't come back right now. It really hurts me.
But I'd love it if someone could go get him, though.
Just go get him. Like, just maybe he come in. Why does Adam Cole come in?
Yeah, why is he the only
one? Kenny, no, Kenny, protect your health, Kenny. I know, it's selfish.
Get better, Kenny.
Who else is even not on? You know what? We can't get held up on this. It's just like everybody's gone right now. The light is gone from this world, from this life.
Speaking of Kenny, this is going to air, I think, after whatever stream.
Oh, yeah.
But we have to admire our patron saint, because Aaron Rutkowski tweeted, like, Kenny, like, making a joke of, like, questions you would ask him on stream, and was like, Kenny, what do you think about kissing? Do you think there's too much kissing? Should there be more kissing in wrestling? And Kenny replied and was like, genuinely ask me this on stream. I have ideas. And I'm like... And Aaron was like, well, I actually have to work. I have something, but I'm going to really try to get home early enough for the stream. And I'm like, for the love of God, please.
Somebody ask him that.
Somebody
I need
to
hear
has to ask him.
Kenny slot on kissing and wrestling. Please.
I want to hear his kissing thoughts so
bad. Unless Kenny says, like, I hate kissing and wrestling, he won't.
He won't. We know he won't. He loves kissing wrestling. Yeah.
Okay. Any additional thoughts about Young Bucks, FTR, the footage, etc.? Jungle Boy Jack Perry. No. Did you like that Matt? So Matt in that in his promo called him just like a sweet stupid kid. What?
I was just gonna say. I hope we're really about to say the same thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, that Matt called him a sweet stupid kid, but then that Mox in the promo that he gave recently on his little NJPW trip he's on or whatever, he also was just like, "Oh, he's just a sweet stupid kid," and I was like, "Is that how you all just talk about him?"
That kid, so sweet, so dumb.
Sweet little dummy.
That wasn't what I was going to say. I was going to say, so Matt was wearing Jungle Boy's shirt.
That's and it was what like, I was yeah,
it was
too,
gaping
yeah.
open at his beautiful chest, so it just said peg.
Peg, yeah. Scapegoat. Just wearing a pegging shirt.
Just not wearing the pegging shirt. And he's like, I'm not going to show you my titties, but I will make a little joke for you guys.
I want to see him again.
He won't let us. He's a heel.
Okay, let's move on and talk about, very briefly, Cope fought Penta on Dynamite, which is nothing to us, but he did win, and afterwards we got lights out. Julia Hart and Malachi Black were in the ring. Malachi attacked Cope. Oh, yeah, the rest of the House of Black not there. Willow ran out to save Cope, I guess, but she got kind of misted. But then they did manage to drive House of Black off. And then afterwards we had the segment where Willow and Cope agreed to do an intergender match versus Julia and Brody King. I mean, it was their idea to do this match next week. So Willow is scheduled to fight Julia at Dynasty for the TBS belt. The winner is probably going to face Mercedes Moné at Double or Nothing, or at least that's what Mercedes said in a sit-down interview with Alex Marvez on the same episode of Dynamite. In the middle of that interview, the lights went out, and when they came back on, Mercedes was lying prostrate on the floor, as I've said here. Alex, how could you? No, we don't know who attacked her. It wasn't Alex Marvez, guys. Any thoughts on any of this, I guess?
I kind of loved Willow and Cope together. They had, like, such a cheerful, fun, little high-energy attitude, which I was not expecting. I would never have thought of putting them together, but I was I kind of love this.
It was a weird moment where I was like, oh, are you guys the same person, just in very different, like, bodies?
Yeah.
They did. They both had a very delightful, boisterous energy. Yeah. And Cope did this thing where he was like, they'd interrupted this Eddie Kingston, Mark Briscoe segment. And Mark Briscoe and Eddie and Cope are all fighting House of Black at the pay-per-view for Collision reasons that I don't have full access to. But also, Mark just beat Eddie for his Ring of Honor belt. So Cope comes up and he's just like, guys. And then he's like, oh, I mean, I see you're doing the segment. Everything good here? Everything good? Everybody good? Okay, cool. I just have this great idea. House of Black came in, they attacked in the ring. Then Will was there and we thought we should have a match. I loved it.
It ruled.
Wow.
And Stokely was there too, because Stokely was trailing after Willow. And Stokely said something to Eddie after, and Eddie's face was just like, dude, he was like, how are you
sorry
still
I
hanging
told
around?
You smelled like Burger King and Newport, something like that. It was just like,
I just had a moment where I was like, so I really funny. Like everybody's on the screen right now. This is fun. I think mixed tags are mostly kind of stupid, but these guys can have it. These people can all have it.
Delightful. If it's going to make them have fun, then I think that is the most important thing right now. We must be seeing people having fun. And they did just all look so enthusiastic and pleased to be there. And that is good, frankly.
Yeah. Feels good.
Do you guys think that the mist is going to end up affecting Willow? Do you think, are we ever going to be able to put together like a unified theory of mist or?
I really need that. I don't think so, because she got misted once more intensely where it was like crossing over her face and she beat it back.
Oh, right. I forgot.
So I think it would be crazy if the mist affected her now. Right. But at the same time, I'm like, some people get misted and they just get annoyed by it and they wipe it off their face. And some people get misted and it changes their personality for weeks. And some people can fight their way back. And some people, it changes them forever. And also, Malachi passed it to Julia. So Julia now has the gift.
She's the goo Malachi girl.
Does it.
The gift of the goo.
What is the science behind the mist?
I'd love to know just what they're saying about it behind the scenes, even. Yeah. Like, if are Malachi and Julia, they had a sit down where they really talked through, like, this is how mist affects people. And if they come to you to do a program, will they tell you, like, you're going to get misted, but we've decided that you are pure of heart and you will be able to fight the mist off. But other people, they could come up to you and just be like, we think that you're kind of bad on the inside. And so if you get misted, you are going to have to go heal.
But and does it depend on how many of your mucous membranes, like, it gets in, you know? Like, it depends on how they misted you.
I would give anything for that to be textual, you know? Like, I wish it was a plot point that it got to Willow and she almost turned last time. And, like, it was almost corrupting her. That should be something where Willow's like, I was weak enough that the mist got a foothold, but I was able to beat it back.
I'll never let that strong. Happen.
Yeah. Whereas, like, has Chris ever gotten misted? If so, she was like, whoop, no problem.
She's already halfway there anyway. It's so funny, too, that remember how Julia Hart used to be a cheerleader and now she's like the only member of House of Black that makes any sense with
that. I know. I'm like, okay, this is the one success. If House of Black does nothing else, which I'm sure they won't, this is the one thing they have on their resume. The fact that they gave Julia Hart a real gimmick that rules is that's it.
Well, gotta give it to them.
That's their legacy. I guess you gotta give it to them. anything else that you want to say about our unexpected intergender fun fest?
Oh, you have to say your thing about Mercedes. Are we talking about, we switching into Mercedes next?
Oh, no, it's in there. Well, I felt self-conscious. I was
You have to say it because I need to be able to cite it whenever I want to.
In the middle of watching the Mercedes interview, the sit-down interview with Alex Marvez, I was having this feeling of like, what is she reminding me of so intensely? And all of a sudden I realized that it was Alexis Rose from Schitt's Creek. And that often she has the same exact, oh my God,
Alex Marvez.
she really had that cadence. It was crazy once you said it. It was like, wow, everything she's saying is in that sort of like,
Really was so delighted by that realization.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this is going to reframe these catchphrases for me.
Yeah. She told the Willow story, the getting hurt by Willow story, in the exact same cadence that Alexis Rose talks about getting kidnapped and put in the back of a trunk in Dubai or wherever it was.
Yeah. Yep. So keep that in mind next time you see our CEO on your screens.
Yeah. And can we talk also about how Alex Marvez was kind of perfect in this segment? Like, why does he sit so weird? wrong. Which was perfect. I was like, wow,
he was
trying to bring
more energy than he usually does too. Like, you could tell he was like, I'm a sit down interviewer now. And I am
promotion for Alex.
But also a vibe of like, I've finally been given permission to sit on chairs and I'm not gonna lose it now. Oh, Alex.
My very first chair.
Usually everyone yells at him to get off the furniture.
I hope that he does get to keep doing this because you know how we're always like JR needs to do couples counseling? What if Alex Marvez turns out to be our new favorite sit down interviewer where you're like, a couple sits down with Alex Marvez, things come out.
Segment idea. JR is getting on in years. We know he did sign a little contract extension for a different, you know, he's going to be playing a slightly different role. We have some backstage segments where you see JR training Alex Marvez up to do couples therapy. It's like he knows, like, the company needs this, and I won't always be here, Alex. So we got to get you ready.
I'd love that because I'd love to know what JR thinks the essentials are for getting it out of them, because he always looks like he's like, I just sit down, I ask them a perfectly normal question, and they say something crazy to me, and it's not what I want.
Oh my God, I gotta go back and watch that one with Kenny. I really do. And that one with Ethan and Darby. Just like his face of just like, what the fuck?
Whoa, no one asked you to say that. I mean.
And I think Alex Marvez would be good at a really different version of that that he's already doing sometimes, which is just that sweaty, like, is this my fault? Look. Like, he would say things and he would just be looking like, oh no. Did Alex do this? Okay.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Before we transition to our game, which is for us, it's our reward for getting through this week, we're just going to quick check in on Mariah May and Anna Jay. I didn't realize they had such a cute little rhymey, Mariah May and Anna Jay.
Yeah. Man, and it's not even a Tay-J situation.
Sean Bean thing.
Sean Bean.
No. Sean Bean.
Ty-J.
Mariah and Anna fought on Dynamite. Mariah May won, and Anna was really angry about it, so she put the Queen Slayer on Mariah and was doing a little light post-match grappling. And who came out to save Mariah May but Mina Shirakawa from Stardom, who we've never met before.
I think
we knew she was coming. Do you guys have any of this ROH background I asked about? Or I really should have asked somebody.
I saw Mina in that match in Boston, and she ruled. And I think that ended up happening on ROH. Like, I think that, like, the match I saw ended up being aired on ROH, but I didn't see any of the angles associated. I just saw the match itself, which it ruled. I think Anna Jay has been wrestling so well. Like, she looks
great. I really liked her in this match. Yeah. I thought she did a really good job. Anyway, so Mina Shirakawa ran Anna Jay off, and I liked watching Anna Jay leave with that. She just had a little expression that I loved. And then Mina cradled Mariah lovingly in her arms, and she had some champagne that she'd brought. So she was pouring some of that in Mariah's mouth, and then she kissed Mariah on her beautiful mouth. And Mariah made this amazing face, just like, oh my God, am I in heaven?
It was a perfect face, because it was just like a surprise delight. And I loved every minute of it. The moment she pulled out the champagne, I was like, we have been lacking, because we've watched a million people do a million run-ins, and none of them have ever come in carrying alcohol already.
And ready to kiss someone on their beautiful mouth.
Ready to kiss somebody on their beautiful mouth.
Kiss her right on her beautiful mouth. And it really was like, if I was in the ring getting queenslayered by Anna Jay, and then suddenly Anna Jay is gone and I'm being held, and I look up and it's my great friend. This is what I understand, is that they're friends, tag team partners from Stardom. Suddenly she's there. I didn't know she was going to be there for me. And then she kissed me on my beautiful mouth, and then we stand up, and then one of them was, I think that Mina had Mariah in her arms and was spinning her around. And it was just like, I'm in heaven. This is the only thing that I want to watch.
Yeah.
Men are gone.
Incredible.
Men are off the show now.
Yeah. Done with them. Never mind.
The energy was so good. And Mariah May has been growing on me quite a bit week by week. Like, I really like her. And at the beginning, I wasn't sure, but she's so funny. She's so cute. She's so good at wrestling. And then she's just in there. They just have this sexy, effortless confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And
I love them.
It's very funny to me that, like, I don't really know their whole backstory, but she is, like, she's committing to this, like, fully. Like, her Instagram and her Twitter are just full of Mina pictures. And I believe she captioned one of them, "Save me, mommy," which
oh, all right.
Well, IRL startlement.
Wow.
Mommy did come save her.
She did. Yeah. And I lost it because Nyla retweeted the kiss and was like, I too need saving. Please save me. And Mariah replied to it and was like, piss off.
And but then did you see? Oh, yeah.
She quoted that and was like, I need two helps. Two saves, please.
The women's division really understands what we like.
I know.
Yeah. It's homosocial behavior.
Yes.
We haven't seen Nyla in so long.
I know.
Boy.
Listen, if I could get a jealousy angle between Nyla and Mariah and Mina, yeah.
Love it. Let's just have, when OC's out on his rollerblading world tour, let's just have him pick Nyla up and bring her back, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Nyla. We've got Hangman. We've got...
We got Mox.
Oh, I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss him.
I'm sure there's many others, too, but...
Well, I hope we get a lot more kissing. And I hope that what Kenny says on his stream when asked is, I love kissing. I think people should be doing much more kissing. And I think people should be doing the exact kind of kissing that they did. It's not too horny for you know, I understand, like, this isn't supposed to be what it's about.
Right.
It wasn't too horny, but it wasn't too performative. It was...
Yeah.
It wasn't Sammy.
You could feel the loving energy.
Mm-hmm, yeah. It wasn't Sammy and Ty Conti, but it wasn't Jade doing punishment kisses. It was exactly right.
It was an expression of true, deep affection and excitement. And that is what I want to see on my screen, is just people see each other and just, oh, you just got a kiss. You just got a kiss.
This feels like, you know, in The Wedding Singer, when they're talking about, like, at your wedding, what kind of kiss should you have? And she's like, well, a little tongue, but not porn tongue, church tongue. And I feel like church. That's the conversation we're having. Like, not too horny. I mean, you know the occasion. I mean, it could be, but...
Listen, it could be pretty horny sometimes. Like, that would be too. I'm just saying that I understand that that's not what everybody wants. And it's not what some people would say that wrestling is for. And I do disagree with that, but I try to accept other people's opinions. And I try to... We're very broad, part of a community.
Broad-minded that way.
People say that about us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I think it is time for our game now. So we won't be doing any more talking about in-ring action. In-ring action is over. Regency action is in. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
So excited.
Can I? Yeah. I don't want us to do this, but I want to tell you the combo that I just opened the wrestler page to, just so you can, like, hold it, just cradle it in your hearts for 1 second.
Yeah.
Tony Khan, Brandon Cutler, and Danny Garcia.
Well, as you said, we won't be doing that one.
Okay.
Okay, so this game comes to us from our beloved listener, Chime Off Boy. And I'm going to read the frankly delightful description that they provided us with, and then we'll explain how we're going to play the game. So they said, the London season is nearly upon you in Regency England, and you have grown weary of life in the country. You long for the hustle, bustle, and bustles of town. This season, you are really looking to cut a dash in London high society, but you can't do it alone. You need friends to make hunting parties, attend balls, fill out your games of whist, or even with which to take a turn about the room. Yeah, I do need to take a turn about the room. Choose three wrestlers to fill out your party and describe how you would turn heads in town. Additionally, balls and parties are always littered with hangers-on, so true, and unfortunate relations. Who has fallen asleep by the fire almost immediately? Who is playing another sad song on the pianoforte while guests are wanting to dance? Who's causing a scandal? But more importantly, yes, what names are you filling out on your dance card? Woo!
I'm in the hustle. The way we reacted when Chai Moth Boy dropped this into our Discord was unreal. I was just like, oh my God. Like, I want to play this point and click game. Like, wow.
Now, so this is how we've decided to approach this, because we didn't want to come up with groups ahead of time. We're doing our classic randomizer. So we're going to do groups of three random wrestling names, And then we're just going to riff on what we think that they would be getting up to in Regency England. And for me, especially in some of my favorite Regency romances. I really could not be more excited. I'm like so excited, so scared right now. Do you guys feel ready to get into the game, or is there anything else you want to say first?
No, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
Now, a couple of us, oh my God, we have to do this one. Nobody move. Okay. Leah, did you want to do the names? Do you want me to get out of there?
No, we can all be in there.
Draw them?
No.
We can all be in there. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is the first one for sure. Our three wrestlers are Kenny Omega, Kyle O'Reilly, and Eddie Kingston.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, you're seeing different names?
Yeah, I've seen different
names. Which I see different names, but let's do those. But
yeah.
That's very interesting because I was like, wow, it's so interesting that she reacted the way about the ones that I could see. Yeah.
So it's Kenny, Kylo, and who is number three?
Eddie Kingston.
And Eddie.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And Eddie, yeah. Now, Eddie, I do think, is doing, like, cockfighting or something. I do think he's doing underground pugilism. Yeah. There's just no way that he is not.
He's always a little disheveled. Like, he avoids the balls, for sure.
Yeah, he just got thrown out of the gaming hell.
I do not think he's welcome at the balls.
No.
that man does not have access to All-Max.
For sure.
I'll be honest with you guys. I don't think any of the three of them are getting to All-Max.
No, I think Kenny is getting in there, but I think that it is in a way where, like, he really shouldn't be, but he's grandfathered in by, he's in, like, a really good family, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's, like, really rich, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right. But Eddie is not going to any balls. He's fighting, and he's...
Yeah.
Yeah. He's, like, you run into him in a stagecoach, and he has a black eye and, like, stained...
Right.
Close, yeah.
But it's also, like, the guy where, like, if he sees you really in trouble, like, your wagon, your carriage wheel broke, like, he's stepping in to help you. Like, he's right there, and he doesn't give a shit. Like, he's gonna step in and make sure everything is all right.
He's coming to your aid, but your mama is scandalized. Your mama is scandalized when she comes out of the hat shop and sees that this man is helping you.
He's honestly like Emma has befriended her lower station friend, and Eddie's the rough farmer that Emma thinks is not good enough for her, but he is good enough. Oh my God,
that's right. That really is right, yeah. And then Kenny, as we've said, rich freak. I don't think he would be having fun in London. Like, that's a man who wants to retire to his country home forever.
I do think he's like, he got blackmailed into going to this ball. He doesn't want to because he knows all the mamas are gonna be pointing their daughters towards him, and he's like hiding in a corner.
Absolutely.
He's not trying to dance, he's trying to get out of there.
Don Cal made him go. Yeah. This is his uncle.
Oh my God, that's
dragged
right.
him out of the country.
There's Don Callis is like absolutely embezzling from the estate or something.
Yes.
I don't know what's something crazy is going on
for
there.
Sure.
And he has a plan to like, he's going to like take Kenny to Europe and kill him. Like it's.
Yeah. What's the Regency equivalent of having given him mysterious powders as a child?
I think it's the same. I think he's still like, I gave him mysterious powders.
Yeah, from the apothecary.
Yeah. And people are always trying to like talk to Kenny about it. And Kenny's like, anyways, have you seen these cool Japanese wood carvings that I've gotten?
Yeah, Kenny is buying imports for sure. He's rare artifacts and things. Yeah,
it's truly so funny to imagine like the most eligible women of the season like trying to flirt with Kenny, and like he just is talking about his woodcuts. His Japanese woodcut.
And his best friend, Ibushi, who is their gal paling around together.
His gal pal, yeah. And then what do you think Kyle is? What do you think Kyle is up to?
I think he's a sailor, probably, although maybe I'm just, you know, the cannibalism is haunting him. I know. I can't not see him as a 19th century sailor.
I like thinking about him down at the docks.
Yeah. He made his fortune on the sea, you know. He's come back.
There's I a, think... I think he's a mid-level aristocrat. I think he's like a squire's son or like, you know, one of the lower level situations. And he is coming to some of the events, the ones he can get into. And he's like making little frat boy jokes about like going after countesses for his money. But he doesn't actually ever do it.
He wants to pursue a countess.
He says it. He says he's making rap boy jokes about it. Like he's like, I'm gonna get some girl to marry me for her money. Like I'm gonna get her money. But then none of his plans ever have. He doesn't even mean them.
But yeah, and he couldn't act on them if he tried. His manners are quite uncouth.
Yeah,
he's not at all. Max, I know that. Lady Jersey does not like Kyle O'Reilly.
But maybe he did do a tour in the Navy, and there are weird rumors about something that happened up north. Something happened on that ship, and no one quite knows.
It's a lot to see. As long as they fairly drew lots. Not a problem.
I like the idea that it's like just there's a little law, like sea law book just lying around in Kyle's study. He looks at it often and reminds himself, what I did was fine. I've been fine this whole time. Okay. Does one of you want to? I didn't realize. Usually when we're in there, I can see you guys changing the names. I don't know why I can't now. But does one of you want to draw or do you want me to keep drawing?
You can keep drawing.
I can do it.
Yeah, keep drawing.
The names that I have here are Excalibur, Cool Hand Aang, and Malachi Black. And I think that Malachi Black might abscond with the
Yeah, he's mysterious and has a dark past, I think.
But yeah. Also, I feel like it's like, I think he has like kind of, I think that Malachi Black could be the kind of man in a Regency romance where it's like some girl is so taken with him and it's just like he's so mysterious and interesting, and her older sister is like, at a certain point she'll realize that he's just sounds nonsensical, he's actually not saying anything interesting at all, but then instead she elopes to Scotland, they go to Gretna Green together.
That's how a rake gets you.
I think that's his vibe.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, what is the Regency equivalent of leaving your husband and son?
Yeah, he's a full-on rake, absolutely.
Yeah, Cool Hand Ange knocked up like a servant and left her and the baby ruined.
Oh my god, that's right.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Matt Sickening. Menard in a little hut with a crying Dan Garcia.
A little wee vein.
Oh my god. Now I really wish I could watch the Regency movie where like young Master Garcia comes to England prepared to confront his father who ran away years ago.
Maybe he doesn't even know that Cool Hand Ange is a lord.
No. He just wants to say, how could you do this to me and Papa Majee?
Oh my god, he was raised. He's a little French boy.
He took him to France.
Wow.
And now he's come back to London to confront.
Yeah, that's right.
To confront Cool Hand.
Wow.
Who's now married to Ruby Soho, Lady Soho.
Ruby.
Yeah.
What about Excalibur? There must be some announcing that he could do in the Regency days. Surely there's a little something for him. He could be doing announcements at the cockfights. I'd love to come back to the cockfights.
I love that. Like he's at Almax and he's calling out the names of the people before they come down the stairs. But as soon as the ball's over, downstairs with Eddie at the gaming halls announcing the cockfights, saying, hey. Next one.
He'll go anywhere and announce anything, guys.
I did feel a little like frisson of horror when I realized that if he's announcing the names, Justin Roberts has no job. But I suppose that Justin Roberts perhaps works somewhere else in town. There's more than one place to go at night, so.
Yeah, I guess
don't
I forgot
there's
that.
There's enough name calling out to go around.
I guess I forgot that Excalibur doesn't do announcing. He does commentary. So now I'm in a charmed little place where I'm like, Excalibur is doing commentary at the balls. He's like, and Kenny Omega seems to have been dragged out on the floor.
No one asked him to do this. He's just sitting in the corner. And whoever he's talking to is like, man, why?
And do you guys agree that he's still wearing his mask?
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course he's wearing his mask. I think that might make him the Lady Whistledown, though. I think that means that he is the town gossip, and so he's flitting from group to group, being like, did you see, like, Kenny Omega performed the waltz most admirably with so-and-so. I don't remember which period the waltz is in, but you got to give it to me. All right.
No,
shall we do another?
That.
Yeah.
Okay. I have Austin Gunn, Christian Cage, and Wardlow. Wardlow is not welcome in my Regency world.
No, he can't.
His body doesn't fit there. Yeah, it's not
his
right.
Body doesn't.
He's some kind of sideshow freak in Regency. He's like a circus. Were there circuses in Regency times?
I think
don't know.
That the British have always been ogling freak shows.
It's a shame because his first. Like, before we got sick of him, he actually had a perfect Regency story, which is
that's
that
true, actually.
He was MJF's body servant, and MJF abused him, and all of a sudden Wardlow escaped and got elevated to the gentry himself. But then it turned out that when he got elevated, he embarrassed everybody, and... and everyone regretted...
Everyone regretted elevating. Wardlow
did a disappointing story.
Wardlow did the king a great favor, and so he got elevated to some status. But then
he couldn't do the job.
Mistreated
he was
his
a footman.
I guess they didn't really care that much if you mistreated your servant.
No one seems to care, and they don't really in AEW either. So
no.
It's just us. There were
Tony
circuses.
Said, I learned it from the Regency world.
The first circus was in 1768 with exhibitions of trick
and
horse
where?
Riding in England, of course.
Yeah, of course. Nasty little England, yeah. Well, good for them. Christian Cage, I mean, he is already playing a Regency villain.
He
is he someone's
is, for sure.
evil.
Either
he is
father,
someone's
yeah.
evil uncle, or he has a little ward and he mm-hmm. pretends that he's protecting their estate.
Or yeah. is he a mama who is...
Okay, I am listening. I'm sitting up.
He's got his ward, Nick Wayne, mm-hmm. and he's trying to get Nick Wayne off married eligibly, but he's out there sabotaging the other Debs. He's straight up spreading rumors. He's he's trying to hire rakes to ruin the
wow.
God,
bad.
What did they call it? And what did they call the prettiest girl in Bridgerton?
The diamond.
Right. So Nick Wayne is not the diamond, but Christian is straight up trying to murder all of the girls. Between him and being named the diamond.
I love the idea that, like, that Nick Wayne is so unlikely to get a husband that Christian has had to stoop to these lows. And I like thinking about Nick Wayne sometimes being like, do you not think that I could get a husband just based on my personality, mama? And Christian is like, shut up. Hold my beer.
It's like you're wearing a shell necklace.
And the thing is that Luchasaurus is also one of Christian's children, but at no point is his marriage ever discussed. He's never allowed to dance.
Oh my
he
God.
Just stands there accompanying Nick Wayne to the balls.
Okay, but that means that Luchasaurus does have to have a grand romance because he's an older sister who's on the shelf. Eventually, he has to encounter some kind of, like, real weird old rake kind of Venetian style. And he's got to be swept off his little feet, his big feet, his big old tall feet.
Or at least he could pull a Charlotte Lucas and bag a, you know, what's his face?
a Mr. Collins.
Yeah. He encourages him to spend a lot of time out of the house.
On poor Luchasaurus.
Of course, I don't wish it on him, but it's better to have his own house, you know?
I don't think that he has Charlotte Lucas's temperament, and I don't think that he would be able to bear it. I don't think he could. He has borne quite a few bad situations, but he just kind of ends up in them. It's hard for me to imagine him being like,
I will
bear this. I don't know. It could be a quiet life. Any thoughts on the guns?
It's really strange because we are gun club enjoyers. Yeah. But I think the entire world is really mad at Billy Gunn right now. So I don't know what kind of story they should be in right now. I feel like maybe Billy Gunn has a title, but it's one of those ones that doesn't pass to your children, that when you die, it goes back to the king. So technically the guns aren't going to have an inheritance. And they're like weirdly cheerful anyways in their machinations, but Billy Gunn embarrasses them sometimes by...
I weirdly can picture Austin and Colton Gunn in Regency garb very easily. It feels right, you know? I don't know why. But it's like, oh yeah, they're out there riding their horses and falling asleep by the fire and playing billiards, you know?
Can we get someone to Photoshop this for us? Because I would like to see it.
You know what? We're sending out that call. If you have the ability, the time, the inclination, please keep us in your hearts. Keep us in mind and make us a little picture. Okay. Let's move on. Oh my gosh. Okay. I got a hot one, girls. John Moxley.
Uh-huh.
Kota Ibushi.
Uh-huh.
Jungle Boy.
Well, well, well.
Well, 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 well. And right now, isn't JB in a feud with Shota Mox's son?
Yeah.
Is that ongoing?
I think so.
That's some kind of, I don't know. I think JB and Shota may have some kind of like fiery tension during their London season that Papa Mox is overseeing.
Papa Mox, self-made man, but nonetheless, it's quite wealthy.
It's so funny to me to picture Shota like being like, Papa, do you think that Jungle Boy is like a good prospect, and like Fox is like, I don't know, you want to fuck him? Go ahead. Why do I care?
Well, Mox has to be in Regency world. Mox has to be like a military man or something. Like,
yeah,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. He looking good in his little uniform.
He would be looking good in his uniform, and he doesn't care about manners, but everybody likes him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. His table
he
is always full.
He has his own certain way.
Yeah.
Wow.
They all think he has very unstudied and natural manner, an open temp, you know, countenance.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And oh, yes. A delightful temperament. and Ibushi, of course, is Kenny's husband.
Well, it's like, that's the story, is that Kenny's been evading all of the marriage offers. Like, he's been ducking them left and right and twisting out of the way, and you don't know what he's waiting for. And then a ship comes in from Japan, and you're like, oh, that's what Kenny was waiting for.
That's what Kenny was waiting for. Did he know Ibushi in this scenario, or is Kenny a perfect, hopeless romantic, and he knew in his heart that the right person hadn't come along yet?
Either way, I love it.
Wow. Kenny, we love you. I hope you say that you love kissing on TV.
I have a good one.
What?
I have a good one.
Oh, great.
Deonna Purrazzo, Julia Hart, and Matt Jackson.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Three beautiful ladies.
Three beautiful ladies. Now.
So we have to work the roommates into it. For Deonna.
Oh, yeah. Where did girls meet in the Regency period?
Did
you
they
know?
Have boarding school?
They didn't really
school
go
back
to
then?
Finishing school. No.
Yeah.
Oh, girls no. didn't, did they?
No.
They didn't yet. No. They would have just been, their estates are adjoining, and they grew up as sisters.
They Oh my God, that's right. That's right. We grew up in the same nursery and you treat me like this. And
you the same nursery. Sounds like a tree nursery a little bit.
We shared a governess and you act like you don't know me.
I don't know what.
Do you think that Matt is a mama or a Deb?
Well, all mamas were once Debs. He was the diamond of his season. And eventually, his own daughter will be the diamond of hers. It's called the circle of life, baby. As John Mayer once said, mothers be good to your daughters. Daughters. Girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers, be good to your daughters. Daughters, be good to your mothers.
Oh my God.
As Lord John Mayer once said. Did that answer your question?
I think so. I think quite philosophically.
Which story would you most like to explore? The story where Matt Jackson is a beautiful, the diamond of his own season, and of course everybody wants to dance with him, or the story where he is the scheming mama who out-schemes even Christian Cage?
The mama story.
The mama story. The mama story.
I want the mama story. I like that.
But he wouldn't have to do that much scheming because I just know that he's given, his daughter has a beautiful manners, beautiful countenance, a sly little wit that enchants all of her suitors.
Beautiful hair, a juicy body, beautiful, you know?
They would never say it, but it's so true. Under her all of figure. Those layers and layers of garments, a beautiful, juicy little body. Well, I think this couldn't be going more normally. Okay, and then let's for our own special pleasure, don't put that in there.
No, keep it in. Leave it in. No, leave it in. Don't leave it. Can you title the episode "Our for Our Own Special Pleasure"? Yeah, I think that's
that probably will be the title. Yeah,
I don't know why this is happening to me tonight. I only even drank the tiniest bit of my seltzer. That's not even it. Okay, all right, for our own special pleasure, let's leave the randomizer behind and let's talk about our beloved best friends in a time when they haven't turned on each other at all. They still love or don't know each other. In the world of Regency England, our beloved Dustin, our Greg, our little Orange Cassidy, our Chris Statlander. What do you see for them?
Wow. We could do this a number of ways that I like very much. Like, I could see all of it going well. Like, I think.
I love the confidence. That was a real. Who is the guy on this season of Taskmaster that you also were just watching where Greg keeps being like, in my day, we weren't allowed to have confidence. So I find you fascinating. Because every time he does a task, he's just like, I think I killed it. I'm going to be so good at this. Okay. Well, go ahead, Leah. Okay.
All right. I think Greg has... Our Greg, not Taskmaster. Greg.
Yeah. Well, our Greg can sometimes be a bit of a Taskmaster, and he and Dustin have fought about it before.
Yeah. I think he has he's rich and has a good title, but he doesn't act like it, and people forget it all the time. I can't decide. I think Dustin has a would you say he has a title? I think he has a title, but he's not.
He has to.
I think he does.
He has to have a title, but he's not as well off, and he likes to make jokes about how Greg is richer than he is and could buy his house and carriage, and Greg's always like, shut up.
And Greg's like, I have a house and a carriage. I don't need yours. And then Dustin says, oh, you're too good for my house and carriage. That's correct.
Now, you could do a fun little thing with Orange Cassidy where he shows up and he seems like he's a little bit of a misfit, a little bit of like he needs a little bit of a mentor to like
sloppy cravat.
And Dustin's like, you know, let me take you around. We'll get you into places, you know, because people know us. And then it turns out actually that OC is more well connected, and he's like, I'll get you into places.
I was going to say, I don't know that I think that Dustin is going to be able to get anybody. Right. I think Dustin is like, he's like, I'm not invited to any parties, but I am fun. That's what I have to offer in a friendship.
I do think it's right that Dustin thinks he's getting him in the door, but then OC is the one bringing Dustin in by his coattails.
And he's some kind of really fancy prince, Mr. Orange Cassidy.
I think so, right? Does that sound like
a duke? Like a duke?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But he, like, doesn't, like, he, I think it gets revealed.
Is Tony Khan the king in this situation? I feel like maybe he is.
We have no choice. I think that's right.
What did we say? Who's the king?
And he chooses the diamond.
Tony Khan.
And Will Ospreay is his diamond.
Yeah, Will Ospreay is definitely his diamond. But Swerve thought he had it sewn up, but then Will Ospreay showed up.
But sometimes Tony Khan comes and picks up OC and takes him in his carriage to many faraway places.
My God.
Yes, he totally does.
And people are like...
And Dustin's at home like,
King,
all right.
King Tony loves OC.
Yeah. And it's funny because it's OC is really not a debutante. He's an old man.
He's on the shelf.
I mean, he has to have that kind of like that, it's like he's not a rake, but there's that, you know, that kind of regency figure where it's like the man is just like, oh, I'll never marry because I like having things my way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
I'm so rich, I don't have
bachelor.
To.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a
I think like. People, when mamas look at him, they're like, he's fundamentally not a serious contender. Like, he's I know that that man
the
is
mamas
not.
Mamas that are like Jim Cornette and Eric Bischoff as mamas are like,
oh
get
my
this
God,
guy out of here.
Yeah, get out of here.
Unfortunately, if you are trying to copy paste the IWC onto the Regency world, I think they would be fairly high level. Like, the Jim Cornettes of the world are. To some degree, controlling access to all Max.
Yeah.
You hate to say it,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
they should, they need to die. They have to get, you know, in the yeah. Regency world. Of course, in our world, they could simply retire, and that would be fine.
Yeah.
But they have a little bit of a chokehold. If you mm-hmm. are a little abnormal, but you want to make it in society, you're going to have to work against them mm-hmm. rather than yeah. with them.
Mm.
Yep.
But you wow. still
can do it. But
you can do
know,
it.
Take some work for sure.
Because, of course, Tony, at the end of the day, Tony ran the game.
Yep. The
and I think we day. All know that.
Tony makes the final decisions. I mean, of course, we all have our picks for the diamond, but...
I'm so happy thinking about Will Ospreay and his beautiful Kermit gowns skipping down the stairs into the ball.
So beautiful.
Tony Khan
so
locks
charming.
On him and his eyes get so big. He goes, that is him. He will make the most incredible match of the season. I do want to add, I think that Regency Chris does still have a lizard as a pet. I
yeah.
do
yeah.
think she does.
Yeah.
I
don't
right.
know how.
Yeah.
But I do think she does.
Yeah. Chris is the bane of her parents' existence because she's constantly doing shit that she shouldn't be doing, but somehow she gets away with it. Yeah. Like, she never manages to cause scandal.
Yeah. And I kind of think that maybe in this little Regency world that Yuta should be, like, Dustin's younger brother or something.
Yeah.
Oh, and he's not out yet. And he can't
he's
go
not,
to the balls because he's not out yet. And he's so mad about it.
Wow. I wonder if at some point he'll go to the ball and he'll meet the sweetest little Frenchman.
Who came to England in search of his bastard father.
I just love telling stories.
Papa Magie told me not to trust British boys.
And actually, actually, it's true. It's like Yoda is one of the least trustworthy, but he likes what he sees. Okay. Well, I think we have to wrap up here. We're getting a little too excited. Is there anything else you guys want to say about the Regency world or the real, very real world of wrestling that we're subjected to every single week?
Can we only just take a quick detour and say, What is Hangman?
Oh, my God. Mm. Wow.
There's a diamond of past seasons.
Yeah, but I think, he enrages the king. At one point, he enrages the king.
It went badly, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he will not be anyone's pawn.
Oh, my God.
Says, I am my own man.
Oh, my God. He was chosen the diamond, but then refused to make an eligible marriage.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
The king was pretty upset about it.
Pretty pissed.
The king had lined up some really good matches, and Hangman, honestly, offended many of them.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Got a little blackballed. Not welcome back at the court for some time.
But you know what? I think that, like, in Regency world, I think he's off in the country. I think that he has found a love match out there, and he's riding wild, and he don't care about the court.
He's thriving. Yeah,
he's thriving. Wow. He's got a beautiful little patch of land.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a good steward of it.
Mm. I think this was good.
I like thinking about that.
Yeah,
such a good idea for a game. It's incredible.
Yeah. Chimoth Boy, thank you for this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We needed it this week.
What a gift.
We did need it this week.
Yeah. We needed it. I think we'll come back to it again, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And I personally am going to have to go. I'm going to go read some Hayers after this.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth. Okay. The whole time you've been listening, I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Duke Leah.
Duke Leah. Duke Leah on the mic. This has been Tunnel Talk the whole time as well. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. You can listen to us on any podcast platform of your choice. You can find us on the Social Suplex Network feed along with many other great podcasts that we highly recommend. And you can find us on the Social Suplex Discord, where we often are hanging out and cornholing and having a good time. And as always, stay frosty and come back next week.